Coming to you from weird and wonderful Louisville, Kentucky, it's time to talk all things beer on the Fall City News and Brews podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to
perfect timing.
Welcome to the Fall City News and Brews podcast. We're all just cracking up. We laugh every time we hear the gong in our intro.
It's so out of place, but it's also in place.
Perfect. So, welcome back. I'm your host, Brian Ucelis, the marketing manager here at Fall City, and today joined once again by our general manager, Drew Johnson.
I just cannot get off of this thing.
Nope, you love it. And making his comeback after a few weeks away,
yep.
Mr. President Shane Udick.
Udick.
It's pronounced Udich.
The first.
Udich.
I thought you were the seventh.
The ninth.
We have some good news to share today, first and foremost. We're all a little slap happy today.
So it's Friday.
It's Friday, Friday afternoon, beautiful Louisville, Kentucky, and last night we were crowned the official champions of the first ever craft beer throwdown.
Where's the gong?
Boom! That was my best gong. You try a gong.
You can do a goat on a motorcycle.
Yeah, we'll save the goat on a motorcycle for later. Anyway, we're going to get some more about that craft beer throwdown in just a second, but first, we're going to talk about what we're drinking. Shane, what are you drinking over there?
This is the Hipster Repellent IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Out of a snifter.
I've heard that one.
That's yeah. Good.
You may have.
I recently heard they added more hops to
Ooh,
it.
They did.
Ooh.
Dun, 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 dun.
Sneak preview of things to come.
Yep.
Drew, what are you drinking, bud?
I'm drinking our new Squints Saison.
Oh, yeah. Named after Squints from the Sandlot.
Killing me, Smalls.
How's the peach coming through on that?
It's nice. It's subtle.
Subtle?
But it's there. It's there.
So this Saison we did.
It's there.
Drew went to a farmer's market in town and bought about 800 pounds of peaches, muddled them all up, put them in this beer. And it tastes like a really good Saison
with no peaches. It has some.
It tastes really good.
It's and a good
we poured that
it's our
last
first,
night.
It's our first shot at a Saison. Actually did this because Kayla.
Shout out to Kayla.
Big fan of Avery's Persic, their peach Saison, which they did not do this year. So as the great person that I am, try to replicate that. But it's a great beer.
But in true Drew Johnson form, came up just a little bit short.
Oh, come on.
Dang.
Anyway, it is a really good beer. We poured that last night. People were loving that as well. I'm drinking our white IPA that we are doing in conjunction with Cystic Fibrosis Foundation here in town.
Mouthful.
Yeah. Drew, tell us some more about that event and why we did this beer.
Yeah, so what we did with this beer is we were part of the craft, the Cure CF festival last year, every year, actually. And so we decided to try and do something different. So the guys out at Johnny Brusco's out in Norton Commons have been dealing with the guys at the Cure CF. And
CF stands for
cystic fibrosis.
Yes.
For all you listening at home. So we decided to kind of take it up a notch this year and brew this white IPA for them, to where majority of the accounts out in Norton Commons are putting this on tap, and they're going to be donating part of their proceeds to Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Takes a village.
People helping people.
It does. So, it's a white IPA. We debuted it on Labor Day weekend. They had a block party out there, shut down the street, and blew through two kegs within one night. So...
It's very, very good. We did a YIPA last year, and I loved it, and this is the first time I've had this batch, and it's about spot on.
Yeah, that's right. So, for those of you who don't know what a YIPA is, it's basically just an American IPA, but we threw in some, fresh orange zest, some orange peel from Valencia oranges, and some coriander. So you get like a little bit of kind of like the Belgian wit character without the heavy kind of yeast flavor as well.
Yeah.
So this beer will be all around Norton Commons and also out at the Cure CF or the Craft Festival first Saturday in October, day that is, the 6th, 7th?
7th?
Somewhere around there.
I don't know what day it is now, so.
That is correct.
Yep. But yeah, it's a very cool thing. Happy to help those guys. And
yeah, so you know when you order a pint of that part of your money is going for the greater good.
Yeah, that's what we like to see. All right, let's talk about some events that are upcoming real quick. Get those out of the way before we dive into today's topic. Next Friday, or this Friday, depending on when you're listening, September 15th at Saints Pizza and Pub in St. Matthews is our neighborhood series event. So that's the
second to last stop.
I know. This has been a really fun thing we've done all year long, and if you haven't made it out to one yet, I suggest you jump on.
If you miss the first four, you are doing it wrong.
You certainly, you're just not doing it at all.
No, you're
trying.
Not. You're lame.
So we're doing our 5 Points Rye IPA there. Super good. Got a little taste of that out of the tanks.
Why do we call it 5 Points?
Oh, because of the intersection in St. Matthews, the heart of St. Matthews, where five different roads, it's not five different roads, but five different directions kind of come together.
There's five roads.
Is it?
Chenoweth Lane, Breckenridge, Lexington,
Shelbyville,
Frankfort, Shelbyville.
Dang. Yeah, that's why we named it that. Duh, Drew, that was a test. You passed.
That is my hood, dude. Yeah.
Drew's very pumped about this one. It is his hood.
It's a happening spot.
It is my neighborhood, and Rye IPA is probably one of my favorite beers.
I do love
there.
Rye IPA.
So I was a little bit selfish, and I kind of took this one under my wing. But yeah.
Just hope it turns out better than that peach saison, right, guys?
I will reach across the table and
the
slap
peach saison is delicious.
Yeah, it's just a saison.
It just needed a little more kick of peach.
Yeah, no. I'm just kidding. No, this beer's really
great.
I'll
be glad when this peach saison is over, just so this conversation will be over.
It's my job to make sure no one gets too big of a head.
Considering your head is already ginormous.
Huge.
Physically.
Yeah.
And emotional.
And egocentrical. Yeah. Not a word.
We
so,
just made it one.
Yeah, the 5 Points Rye IPA is delicious. It's brewed with rye malt and a little bit of caraway seed. Yeah. Gives a little bit of spice to it. We've already tried it out of the tanks. It's dry hop right now. Dylan did an excellent job with that one. So it's looking forward to trying it once it's all carbonated and kegged up and come out specialty glassware.
Yeah, the glassware will have, if you haven't seen them, we've done little logos for each of the neighborhoods here in Louisville, and this will be the fifth one. It's a really cool glass this time. It's a very specialty glass, so yeah, get there. I think it starts at 6 is what we're shooting for. We've also got the Ethereal Beer Fest on the 24th of September in Lexington.
Which, that is their funky farmhouse festival that they do every year, so we will be sending our squint saison.
Yeah, right. Ooh. Of course we will.
It surfaces again. Look,
those guys are ethereal, great. They make great beer, yeah. And it's an excellent atmosphere down there. If you ever guys get down there, it's...
And even though I keep joking, that saison's really, really killer. Like, it's so good.
Don't go back on it now.
It just doesn't taste like peach? Mm-hmm. It's not a peach saison?
It tastes like peach.
It tastes a little bit like peach. Last night, I was at a beer fest. We'll talk about it in a second. We won, just FYI. And I kept telling people, I was like, it's a, traditional saison, blah, blah, blah. Little hint of peach. And as the night went on, people were like, I can taste the peach. And I was like, yeah, it's in there. It exists.
Oh, it's in there for sure.
Yeah.
I know for a fact.
I watched you. Yeah, I didn't help. I watched.
I smell like peaches for like 3 days.
Not a bad smell.
Yeah.
I really don't want to see another peach.
That was
for
a weekend,
long
unfortunately. I would have loved to have shared an office with you while you smelled like peaches.
Yeah, right.
Weird.
You do share, kind of share an office.
Exactly. Yeah. Nulu Fest, September 30th, we'll be pouring there with four or five other local breweries. And
fingers crossed the weather holds out for that one.
Should be nice. If you haven't been to Nulu Fest before, down there on Market Street, it's about 2 blocks from our new home. Construction's going well.
We might have some of that saison as well.
Yeah. Just squint. We got to get the saison, guys. It's so good. So good. And then the last thing just to mention, we do still have our deal going on with Parlor over across the bridge in New Albany, Jeffersonville, $3 Fall City Drafts Fridays and Saturdays. So again, if you have not been to Parlor, get over there, especially now with the weather being so nice.
Do yourself a favor, walk the bridge. You literally will end up in their front yard when you get to the end of the bridge in Indiana.
It's
a great way you earn your beers when you get over there.
You walk them off.
Yeah, you earn your beer and your pizza, and then you walk it off.
And it's safe. You don't have to drive.
Right, exactly. Well, you have to drive eventually, but unless you walk from your house.
You can technically walk wherever you want to go.
You can do whatever you want.
Put your mind to it. I think we should actually take this podcast to the Parlor soon, maybe on a Friday.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It'll be a little noisy there, but...
Walk across the bridge and then do the podcast.
With all of the equipment.
We'll make
Jason
affair.
Jason, are you going to carry all this stuff over there?
He's nodding.
You're just going to meet us there.
He's not even paying attention. He's on his phone. He's playing words with friends.
No idea what we're talking about.
He's trying to fit in Saison.
Candy Crush.
But didn't recognize it.
Got like peaches on the brain.
Exactly.
Candy Crush.
Anyway, so those are the events coming up. Now that we've spent about 45 minutes talking about nothing, let's talk about today's topic, which is beer festivals. We're talking about it for a couple of reasons. One, it's nearing the end of what we like to refer to as festival season as we head into fall and colder weather.
You would
weather.
Think that, but there are actual...
I know. There are beer festivals.
It just never stops.
Plenty more.
Swerk is coming up soon. I don't know if you guys know. It's in Evansville.
Evansville, Indiana.
You sure it's not Owensboro?
I just double-checked.
Okay.
I know it for a fact. Google said so. But that's a big one. That one's always fun.
Yep.
And
I feel like a baseball field or some kind of
minor league field.
Yeah.
Travis always covers that one. We should actually go this year.
Travis is a minor league.
He's a minor league baseball player.
He's minor something.
Aw. Anyway. And then, so last night we partook in this really awesome event in town here called the Craft Beer Throwdown. It was to raise money for the Coalition for Homelessness in Louisville, which basically tries to end homelessness, tries to support people who don't have a place to live. So we were just like totally in because, hey, good cause, go out and meet some people. The event ended up having like 400 people. Super awesome. Great
that
weather.
That is awesome.
Night.
That is an amazing turnout.
Yeah, for a first-time event on a Thursday night, it was us, Mile Wide, Monic, Holsopple,
ATG,
Against the Grain, and Great Flood. And the whole idea was bring a beer to enter into this throwdown. Didn't no style restrictions, which I kind of was digging. You know, sometimes it's like you have to do an Oktoberfest, and it's like, how different can we really make this? So we brought our Y'all, which is bourbon barrel-aged brown ale with chocolate and pecans, the Derby Pie of beers.
Can you even say Derby Pie?
You're not supposed to.
You're going to get sued.
Certainly can't write it. But we friggin' won. By a lot.
Like,
we crushed it. So
that beer is delicious.
It really is. We ran out of that beer in like 2 hours, and then we poured Squint Saison. I don't know if you guys have heard of that. It's a new Saison we did. It's very good. Hints of peach. But no, it was a really good time, and it just kind of got me thinking about the whole beer festival scene. So before let's take one step back real quick. If you guys listened last week, we had Kevin Gibson on and Drew here, and they just made fun of me relentlessly for having notes for this podcast. All I have written down is beer fest, so we're going to see
how this goes. And we're rolling with it.
Yeah, so we're going to see how this goes. First question is, what do you think of beer fest?
What do you think of beer fest?
Do you enjoy them?
So it's...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I just asked a question and it held my finger up like, let me ask another question. So go ahead and finish that first question.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you need to ask another question before
I need a
answer?
Note. I need notes to follow.
Talk.
You don't need notes. What is number two? What's your second question?
Well, I think...
As a consumer, as a representative?
That was going to be my thing. So let's talk about them first as a consumer, and then we'll talk about it from the beer side.
From a consumer, like I've thought this for a long time, and I think it is a great opportunity for consumers to get out there and try a lot of different beers from a lot of different breweries. My concern is that, like, what is your actual reach as a brewery? Like, how memorable... You really have to make your beers memorable for people at a beer fest. You really, like, take that away. Because I would love to stop people coming out, because most of them are shit-faced, and just be able to say, what beers do you remember trying, and what did you like about them? Because ultimately, as a brewery, we're trying to gain exposure and get our beer out there and trying to get people to try different things that we're doing, and we're really trying to experiment and trying to do all these different things. But I think there's a lot of people that just go to beer festivals just to drink, which, you know,
hey,
ultimately
more
so.
Power
that's fine.
To
yeah, I get it.
I think it allows the consumer a chance to see some of the brewery's innovation and other
things. And I think that it's not everybody just going out there to drink and get drunk.
But a lot of them are.
A lot of them are, which is fine. I mean, it's a great social atmosphere, and a lot of them are done very well, and a lot of them are executed very well.
Yeah,
a lot of them are not.
Sure.
Further thoughts by you, Shane?
I feel like I said, I feel like as a consumer, you go there to, A, hang out with your buddies,
mm-hmm.
you know, B, you get to try all these fun new beers that you either have had maybe once before in their tap room or not. And if not, you get a cool chance to hang out with your buddies and try some fun new beers and hopefully give some good feedback and understand any given brewery's innovative side a little bit further than before. Too often, a consumer only gets the packaged beer that we can pull off of a Kroger shelf, you know, so this is a fun way for them to try out some new stuff. So I think it's a really cool experience.
But at what point is too many beer fests too many?
There
because,
are a lot
because,
of them.
Because, yeah, I mean, because from a consumer, you know, a lot of my friends, you know, look at me, they're like, oh, you have to work this beer festival this weekend? That's awesome.
No.
It's not.
It is. It's our side.
Let me back up. It is great because you get to really kind of firsthand talk to a lot of consumers, and
it's like hyper demographic for us.
Drew and I think we've talked about this. I feel the same way about beer festivals that I do Little League baseball games. When I played Little League, I wanted to rain out every single game. I was just like, come on, rain. Like, I don't want to do this. And then I get to the game and be like, this is awesome with my buds playing baseball.
Yeah.
But the hassle is the same. kegs are heavy, and like
I'm not that strong.
But by the time that you load everything in, you have to load in jockey boxes, ice,
it's definitely
CO2
work.
Tanks, kegs, even cups, branding, tents. I mean, it is work. Like by the time the consumer shows up, everything's set up looking pretty.
You need somebody to tap you out.
You don't see how long that it took us to get to that point where it looks pretty for you.
Well, and now we've got beer fests that are going with Senate Bill 11, which has allowed us to direct distribute to beer festivals. And we have to work those, like legitimately sit there and pour, whereas other beer festivals, we have volunteers that pour and we just kind of sit there and hang out.
Right. So it allows us to become a mobile tap room.
Well, but it is much, like, it's work when you have to take the money. If there's money, you've got to keep track of everything. Like, I take for granted those volunteers who just, like, pour for 4 hours and don't have any really affiliation to the brand at all. So that's definitely a different aspect from the brewery side. And, yeah, you know, for me, I think consumer or, you know, brewery side, there are a ton of them. And I think what I look for now are the unique ones. I think the setting matters, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, the setting, the weather, everything. Yeah. Like, people that really show up that are very curious about things that you were doing. Then you have people that show up, what is your lightest beer? Or what is your strongest beer? It's like, you obviously are here for one reason.
And and price point, too. Like, I saw a beer festival recently, it was like $75, and I thought... Oof. You almost have, like, and
for a ticket to a festival?
Yeah. And it didn't come with anything special. It was just 200 breweries and this. And I'm like, if I spend $75.
That better come with, like, a personal guided tour or someone just, like, carrying me around.
But there's still, even, like, 50. Like, I feel like that's a lot of money for a beer festival. Mm. And you just really got to think, what's it worth? And then you do end up getting in that mode. Like, I paid $75. I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to drink as much as I can. And that's.
Now, on the flip side, unless it's going towards a charity or something like that, that's cool. I think a lot of people understand that I can pay $50 and it goes to a good cause and I get some beer out of this, blah, blah, blah. But they're not all like that.
Well, I mean, we have some great ones here in Louisville. You know, Bertha Zoo just happened. Mm-hmm. And
it's a cool setting.
It's a cool setting. They spread it out, you know, the past couple of years to where it's actually in the zoo. It's not up on the Oasis field as much anymore. And then, the Tailspin one that's in February, which is kind of an odd time of year to have a beer festival.
It sells out.
Yeah, Tish.
Tish kills it.
Shout out, Tish.
Tipping my cat to you. It's it's great. It's a great event, and they've been voted, I think, top 10 beer festival
in the region or
in the country.
In the country.
They do such a good job with that one because it is in February, and like 1 year it snowed and it was terrible. And then
that was the year that I broke my foot the night before, so I was laid up in bed.
Mm, sorry, Drew.
I was actually glad that I missed that one because everyone I talked to was like, my feet are frozen.
Yeah. So, but that's like the downside. The last 2 years they had great weather.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, it's...
It's been awesome. But
they say now out at Bowman Field with, you know, all these old
airplane hangar.
It's
awesome.
I mean, that's a well-executed beer festival.
Well, and they do so well because it is the first one. Like, you get out of winter, and it's like people are ready to get outside and go to beer festivals. But, yeah, they really lucked out with the weather, and that 1 year it wasn't so great. It did put a damper on it, so you just kind of have to roll the dice and be unique. But I think that's, you know, looking at that event that we did last night, you know, there were only 6 breweries. And the beers are a little more memorable and a little more manageable. But
how? I mean, how many are too many? Like, how many?
How many festivals over a summer?
So I mean, actually, like,
how many breweries or how many festivals?
Festivals.
Yeah.
So I mean, Leba actually, for the first time, and I don't know how many years, is not doing theirs. Is not doing theirs this year. I've heard rumblings that there's going to be a very similar beer festival that's going to be all just local beers somewhere in the kind of the new Lou Phoenix Hill area. I don't want to say too much I don't actually know if it's going to happen.
Well, we just had the KGB Craft Bash this summer, which is the Brewers Guild. That one I really enjoyed because it was only Kentucky breweries, and it was the right amount of breweries, and it was breweries that don't normally distribute in Louisville.
That's great, and that's something that is, you know, feeding the Kentucky brewery community. I mean, your money is going towards helping us be able to fight for legislation and be able to, you know, fight to, you know, have as you know, all the rights and whatnot to be able to service our community.
And I think one a month from about February or March through about September-ish is about enough, I think.
Yeah, but there's
way more. Yeah, there's especially in, you know, June and around Derby, there's a ton of them, which is...
I was going to say, some of them are tied into bigger, grandiose...
And I think, no offense to those, because we go to those and a lot of times have a really good time.
Great,
but I think,
success, too.
I think sometimes those are the ones that get on my nerves the most, because it's like, we've already doing so much, and we've already got so much going on with, like, even from a consumer standpoint, if you're talking, like, Derby Festival, there's so many ways to go out and have a good time during Derby. You know, like, why do we have to throw it? Like, that's where I want people to be a little more creative, and, like, that's why I thought, you know, the craft beer throwdown last night or the Kentucky Craft Bash with the Brewers Guild, they have kind of a niche.
What about the Bell of Louisville thing?
Yeah.
That's unique.
Yeah, that was cool.
I wouldn't call that, like, a beer festival.
Yeah,
though.
But I think they could expand that.
Yeah, they could.
So basically what Shane's referring to, they did the Bell of Louisville did some, it's a steamboat here, did some craft beer cruises. They did three of them this summer.
I hear they might have a Calliope on there.
Mm, yeah, exactly. But anyway, there were five different breweries each night. We were lucky enough to be on all three, and it was insane. But it was nice because people did remember your beers, but somewhere between, I think, 5 and 20 breweries, you know, but seriously, when you get to the breweries where there's like 200, you know, it's just, you've got.
Well, we would love to have your feedback out there, beer drinking community.
Yeah. Shoot us some texts.
What do you think?
For the record, we sound like we're whining about all the beer festivals. We have a great time.
Yeah, we do. And it is
just
great,
is real work. Usually on a Saturday.
It's not just like, oh, you're working at beer fest where you're just going to show up there and drink. It's like, man, that is,
well,
yes, that is a perk, but there is a lot of load in and load out that takes place.
My complaints, if you will, are not because beer festivals are bad, but because we need to. Uh-oh, we've got some strangers walking in the door. They're confused.
Let's see if they want to hop
on
the pod.
They read the sign on the door.
Nope, lock it, lock it.
They gone.
My criticisms of beer festivals are not that they're bad. I think the ones that we participate in and participate with full force, we love.
Oh, yeah.
My whole point is I don't like the ones where we don't send, like, a rep from the brewery, where they just have volunteers, because that's cheap to me.
It's a poor representation of
the brand. And that happens a lot. Like, especially here, you'll get brands from Colorado or California, and they don't have reps that are coming, and you ask the person about the beer, and the person pouring it's like, oh, I've never had it before. I've never even heard of this brewery. Right. It's like,
this
that's
one's,
not, like, that's, what's the point?
Or this one's hoppy, and this one's not.
Yeah. This one, I know it's dark because I just poured one.
You have some of these now, like the corporate, like, traveling beer festivals to where it's run like a machine. It was, like, one of the weirder things I've seen in, like, beer festivals. But, I mean, you're right. Like, for something like that, the consumer wants to go, and they want to have a personal experience with the beer that they're drinking. If there's someone there from the brewery to represent the brand and talk to them about it, you know, that's ultimately the goal for us as a brewery, to be able to gain new exposure and gain new customers.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you want the person leaving there. Like, I hope that after last night, people left there thinking, oh, that beer from Fall City was really, really good.
That Squint's Peach Saison, which
exactly.
is so damn
They'll be
good.
Like, it was unbelievable. Never had a Saison with peaches. Still haven't. You know, so... but you know, that's, I want people to, I like interacting with people in that setting. And, you know, when you're pouring a beer for somebody and they're not really paying for it, you know, that they've already paid for it, and it's just kind of fun, you kind of control all the cards, and you're like a celebrity, and they just think you give them a koozie, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can have this. It's
right.
Like, yeah,
it's just good
totally.
Times.
It's good fun times. And that's what makes Beer Fest fun for us, and you don't mind working so many of them when you have that interaction, and it helps build your brand. But I just worry we're getting watered down. It's very representative of the beer market. You know, there's so many beers.
That's a great point.
And
it is analogous to the total beer market.
Yeah,
there's so many breweries, and there's, I don't know, if you go up to Indianapolis, and just in the city of Indy alone, there's 40 or something.
Oh, I guarantee you, within Indianapolis, there are twice as many breweries in the entire state of Kentucky.
Yeah, just in Indy, and that's.
What?
That's indicative of the growing beer market population now.
Have you guys been to many beer fests outside of the Louisville area? And if so, which ones would you say you've enjoyed?
Well, considering Shane, worked in Tennessee, yes. I've been to quite a few.
Which ones did you like down there?
Tennessee Beer Fest. There's one inside Bridgestone Arena that's fun. There's one in East Tennessee that's a lot of fun. That specific names, sometimes they're Tennessee Beer Fest, sometimes it's Tennessee Brew Fest, sometimes it's...
There's one coming up at the end of this month, right? The 19th or
22nd.
Like, is that the Nashville Beer Festival? Is it?
It's either the Nashville Beer Fest or the Tennessee Beer Fest. There's like six of them.
There's a beer festival in the Tennessee area.
On September 22nd.
Go to it.
Nashville.
Just poke around.
What about you, Drew?
You know, I have not ventured out too many outside of Kentucky. Been to ones in Bloomington and Indianapolis, and it's kind of crazy with the ones recently in Indianapolis, is because there are so many breweries in Indiana that to be a brewery, to get involved in a beer festival up there, it's almost impossible because there are so many breweries in Indiana that are going to take the spots first. You know,
but that's the way it should be. You know, like, I kind of like,
but
like,
just because you have all these breweries doesn't mean they're making quality beer.
That's true.
It's the Nashville Brewfest. It's September 22nd, run by Dan Silberstein.
Okay.
I don't think we needed all that.
Yeah, we can tag Dan.
Dan's personal phone number is
his home address.
Yeah, if you'd like
no,
to.
No, supposedly he's like a famous
his favorite
beer
color.
Festival putter on her.
Oh.
Is that so even a
that's
word?
A thing.
You just
made a word up earlier. I can too.
You want to give it a shot? Make up a word, Drew?
Sure. Oh, well, let me think on it.
Okay.
Make it something around peaches and saisons.
I'll try to.
I would say one other complaint I have about beer festivals is that I get to the point where I don't want to stand in line anymore for a shot of beer, and I just want to buy a whole beer.
Yeah.
And that's what, like, last night they did that. Like, you got a taste of whatever the competition beer was, and then it's like $5 for a full pour, and part of that money goes to charity, and I was like, this is the way to do it.
Well, basically what you have to do at some of these big beer festivals is you get a sample, and then you just have to hop in another line, and then hopefully, you know, you're not waiting too long after you finish your sample before you get another one.
Yeah.
And I personally just, I have zero patience, so waiting in line is just an absolute worst.
How do we feel about the pretzel necklaces?
I'm for them.
Yeah?
Why not have some munchies hanging on your neck?
Huh. Cleans the palate.
Yeah. You don't like them?
No, I In my days of craft beer, I didn't know what the hell they were for. I just thought,
what am I supposed to rub this on my face?
Yeah. Quickly figured out they were a palate cleanser.
A new fashion trend?
I just enjoy a little snack.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. But
how do you guys feel? This is a side note. How do you guys feel about bars that have like bowls of like mixed nuts or pretzels at the bar?
You're talking about just like contamination of just how many germs are in those things.
Oh. That's I eat them point. Every time. I don't ever.
Oh, yeah. I will too. I was like, I will eat the Chex Mix and peanuts and whatever else. I was like, I wonder how many other hands have been in here and who actually washes their hands? Because you see a lot of people go to the bathroom. I'm like,
that used to be.
Man, I know you just took a piss and you did not wash your hands.
The best thing about Chex, the restaurant, used to be that the sink to the bathrooms was outside of the bathroom, so you would always know if people had washed their hands after they peed. Now they remodeled, and I have no idea what these people are doing in there. Not washing their hands, probably, and then touching my Chex.
Touching the floor.
If you had a bar. And you were going to put a snack in a bowl, any snack, price point doesn't matter. What would you like to put on there?
Caviar.
Really? For your IPA?
Price point doesn't matter.
That's true.
Price
steaks.
Filet mignon.
Okay.
Bites.
Price point doesn't matter, but it has to be like
a snack.
A bar bite. Snack. Yeah.
Dude, chips and dip. Peanuts.
What kind of? Okay, I asked for one. Now you're just naming
I'm just
snacks.
I'm hungry, man. I'm getting hungry.
What kind of chips and dip, though? Like,
I don't know.
Like chips
beer
and
cheese.
Salsa? Or,
beer,
oh,
beer, beer cheese.
Pretzel with some beer cheese.
I could, you know what? I could see more beer cheese being a thing inside tap rooms and places. I dig beer cheese. Just pretzels and beer cheese.
Well, yeah. It's amazing.
I think tap rooms need to sell
beer and beer cheese are two names that need to go together forever.
Mm-hmm. Like lamb and tuna fish. Yeah. I was going to go with Cheez-Its.
snack bowl?
Cheez-It, yeah. Yep, Goldfish, man.
I love Cheez-Its, man.
We buy Goldfish by the
The giant carton.
I started like buying like the little bags.
Then
and
you
Kayla
went to Sam's.
Like, yeah, come on. So yeah, just go ahead and just commit.
My daughter, who's one, I made the mistake about 2 months ago of giving her Goldfish, and now
why was it a mistake?
Because now we can't keep them in the house because she just eats nothing but Goldfish.
Yeah,
that's not true. She also eats bananas and pretty much everything else that we have. So,
you just totally retract your.
But she eats a lot of Goldfish, man. For a one-year-old.
Yeah.
But hey, to throw it back out on you, listening community.
What do you like?
We were going to have a bar. What would you want to snack
on? True.
On?
We're building a tap room. Your dream can become a reality. I don't know about the caviar thing.
I was over there today. We're coming along.
Let's transition this. Hang on a second. Jason, how long have we been going?
29 minutes.
Oh, so we got about another 15 minutes in this. Let's transition this to the tap room.
So from beer festivals.
I'm done. I mean, do you guys have anything else to say about beer festivals?
They have their place. They have their point.
They're fun, but they're work.
If you went to 17 beer festivals every year, you would get tired of
yes,
them.
Yes, you would.
And give the people on the other side of the table a little courtesy.
Yeah.
I will say this. This is the last thing we said about
beer
clown. Festivals. The last thing we said about beer festivals, I think it'd be super fun one time to do like a little caravan, to like a tour across the U.S. of like the coolest beer festivals, or like five or
Here's
six across
concern.
The summer.
I think they would all feel kind of the same.
They may, but you'd have a lot of fun getting
just
there.
Like different breweries. That's why.
Different breweries.
Yeah.
Okay, so that is why I stopped really kind of getting excited about breweries or beer festivals in Kentucky is because you were seeing the same beers over and over again. So going to ones in Nashville or, you know, Indiana, you're going to see a whole lot of different beers because there's different beers are available in different states just due to distribution. So it just kind of gets stagnant.
Don't let us bias your opinions of beer festivals. We are in the beer industry.
We love beer festivals.
And are in it every single day.
We're also at the end of festival season.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a...
And at our next beer festival, if you mention this podcast...
You get a full pour.
You can do it. You can do a keg stand.
You can put your mouth
in. You can do a keg stand of squints.
I will hold your legs while you do a keg stand and drink some squint saison.
All right. New Falls City Tap Room.
Yeah, so let's transition to Tap Room. So to update everybody, we're building one.
It's built.
It is
it's
a reality.
An extremely old building.
Yeah, so we're renovating the space to build a new taproom, beer garden, brewery. And to throw it out to you guys listening and gals, we would like to hear what you'd like to see. But I was just going to ask you guys, when you go to a place to drink beer, taprooms, beer bars, wherever you are, what are some of the things you really, really look for? Are there certain things that, can you think of anything where it's like, man, that's a nice touch.
I'll just say this. Like, when you walk into a tap room, some of them feel very inviting and casual, and some of them feel real stiff and smug and just unwelcoming. Yeah. So I think our goal with Falls City is to, when you walk in the door, you just feel casual welcomed.
Falls City Beer Tap Room. When you're here, you're family.
It's like cheers.
Don't tell Olive Garden.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I think Falls City is a vintage but new brand. I think you're going to see some vintage but new branding inside of our tap room. I think our beer garden is going to be a super fun place.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see if we can't make some tweaks to make it available during the winter, but especially when it starts to warm back up in the spring.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be kick-ass.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to see our brewery through some windows while you're out in the beer garden as well. So there's a lot to look forward to there.
For sure.
Lots of different beer styles that you normally can't find from Falls City either.
I'm going to hold back a keg of that Saison.
Yeah.
All in one place.
What about you, Drew?
I think a tap room really showcases the personality of a brand. So I think that is something that I tend to look forward to. If you walk into a tap room and it just has a very dry, kind of boring atmosphere, it's not going to get me excited about the beers I'm about to try.
Show us what you like. Put something on the wall.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't have to, I don't need all the glitz and glamour, you know, all these, whatever else. I just want the tap room to reflect the beers that I'm having, to reflect the personality of the people behind the brand and who are out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a little bit of all of us out there. I mean, it's
put yourself in a consumer's mindset for a second. Is food a really important thing at a tap room?
Yes.
I think that there needs to be a food option. I don't think you have to have a full kitchen. The one thing I don't like is when breweries, tap rooms,
try to be a full-on restaurant.
Sit-down restaurant. I don't want someone to wait on me. I don't, because then I feel like they're trying to turn the table, and I like places. My favorite tap room.
They are trying to turn the table because that's how the waitresses are going to make money.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't want waitresses. That's my point.
So, all the waitresses.
Beer tenders.
I'm saying I want to order at the bar.
No, I get it. I get it.
I don't think you do.
Squints.
Pretty sure I do.
But anyway, I want it to be someplace where I can go. I can go on a Saturday and legitimately spend 4 or 5 hours and not feel like I'm hogging a table and not feel like
I'll just go up and order at the bar, take it back to the table.
And maybe there's a food truck, maybe there's a window,
maybe there's
some food offering behind the bar, but
food element.
It's not a
centerpiece.
You shouldn't have menus that are like laminated that you hand to every table. Like, you should just grab a menu at the bar. That's kind of the way I view it.
That's the way you see it.
I mean, you see a lot of tap rooms and people doing that where they will lay out, you know, menus of surrounding spots. So
you can order pizza.
You're also getting involved with the local community that they see that you're supporting their brand. You know, if you're putting their menu up in your tap room, like, hey, if you come sit here, you can order pizza and it'll be here.
Well, and also to Shane's question about food, like, food and drink go together, and you certainly would hope that people would stay and be responsible and have a couple beers, but you'd also want them to have something in their stomach if they need that.
That's a good point for safety, like,
maybe
soak up some booze.
It does, and it also, from our standpoint, is that it keeps you at our spot longer.
Yep. You don't have to leave to get food. That's why the Cheez-Its are important.
Yeah, or the Goldfish,
we
or
should
the
get,
beer cheese,
we should
or
get
the caviar.
Falls City branded Cheez-Its.
Falls City caviar.
Falls City Zits. It sounds like Zits. Anyway,
So yes, look in the near future for us by the end of the year.
We'll be sending out some snippets and some pictures
very
of
soon.
Construction very progress. Soon.
The other thing
I was there today. We've had some good conversations.
I'm going to ask you about games, not like board games, like dartboard. Huge fan of the dartboard or the string hook game.
Shuffleboard?
Oh, now you're talking. Ping pong is a little too much for me.
It's too ping pongy.
I get sweaty if I play ping pong. I can't. It's hard to hold a beer and play ping pong. I think if you're going to have a game at a tap room, it needs to be something where you can do it while holding a glass of beer.
That's a good point.
When we get to that point, I'm going to enlist my friend, if she's ever listening, Mary Levinsky.
Hey,
Mary.
Because she is an event coordinator. Like, she is just, whenever we are hanging out,
Mary Drew's trying to hire you.
She just wants to just constantly, like, play games and just wants to do things. So yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, there's always, we call her the activities director, so there's always something to do.
You guys, like, when you have family gatherings and stuff, you guys play games? You just like, if you go to Thanksgiving at the Udick or Johnson household, or you just like, I'm eating turkey and maybe having a drink and then I'm not talking to anybody, I'm watching
Thanksgiving,
football.
Thanksgiving, it's always my birthday. So.
Oh my God.
Can I just make it all about
so now we're playing pin the tail on the donkey every Thanksgiving. That's
yes
not my question.
No. One side of the family does, one side of the family doesn't.
No,
we like to party. We play games. Games are a huge deal. I think they keep people there longer. It's engaging.
Engages and get people talking, but no.
People come to tap rooms like hang out with their friends and board games and shuffleboard and darts and
it's all part of the process.
The string and hook game. What is that called?
String hook.
String hook game?
Yeah. String.
People know what we're talking about.
And hook.
Sound like a goat on a motorcycle. It's pretty good.
Have you ever heard a goat on a motorcycle?
Have you guys ever heard a goat on a motorcycle? Because that sounds a little bit like this. Anyway,
we clearly, fit it in.
Are we done?
We fit it in the podcast.
We might be done if we're going to goat on a motorcycle.
We have to incorporate into the
Here's what I want to say. I met a guy one time, and if you're listening to this, please. I think he's a friend of my wife's. She probably knows his name. I was probably a couple beers in. And he literally was like, have you ever heard a goat on a motorcycle? And he did that. He didn't have a microphone like I have. And it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I laughed so hard. And that was like 5 or 10 years ago. So if that guy's listening...
We
just to let you know, if you're out there, you're, before we even start
come
any of these podcasts,
we have
every time Brian does the goat on
a
motorcycle.
Every
we
time
could totally name a beer
goat on
a motorcycle. It would be long.
It would be
a tap
room. It would be a Bock beer. That's what our Bock should be named.
Yep.
Motorcycle goat.
And then we'll talk about lizards.
How they're almost extinct.
This is what happens when we don't have notes, guys.
Your notes is not making or breaking this podcast.
I know. I think it might be better because I don't really have any.
Shoot from cuff, man.
I almost fell asleep earlier. Not true.
On the pod?
Yeah. One of you was talking about something. I don't remember.
It's probably
I trail off a lot when you're talking too, so don't feel insulted.
What games do you play at Thanksgiving, Shane?
A lot of card games.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite card game?
The one where you do the chalk on your face, like the black chalk on your face, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Yeah, it's great because you just mark up people's faces.
This sounds very offensive.
What?
I can't remember the name.
I've
or
never heard of anything
what's
like
the
this.
One that's just extremely
I thought vulgar. You were going to say
cards
like
against
cards against humanity.
I thought you were going to say like poker or rummy.
Okay, those are traditional card games, but there's like a very interactive family
card
game.
How about Uno?
People from age 5 up to whatever can play this game and
draw on
cracks
your face.
People up. Yeah, because you just draw on each other. It's kind of funny.
All right.
Because you get something wrong, you just get a big mark all over your face. It's like you burn like a cork, okay? And then the cork becomes like ashy.
No one has ever heard of this game.
Somebody
what are you
listening
talking about?
Knows of this game.
Nobody knows. Is this
I
like
in
a
my mind,
Unitch game original?
The guy who does the goat on the motorcycle probably invented this game too. And he's probably somewhere very famous. He's a friggin'
he's
model American.
It. Stay tuned for next week when we find out what crazy chalk.
You know what game
cork,
I like to play?
Black game.
Catchphrase. That game's fun.
Oh, yes, Catchphrase and, God, what's the other one that's just like that?
Taboo.
Yes,
Taboo. I like the buzzer on Taboo.
Yeah. We always end up playing Taboo or Catchphrase around the table. Yeah,
see? So your family
the text was sent out to define this what this game was, and
whoever sends back the text first
what
is going to get mentioned.
What did you even Google to find?
No, he sent a text to people.
I sent a text to my wife.
Oh,
what's
okay.
the game where you
say.
Burn the cork... and rub it on people's faces.
Stay tuned next time
also,
to find out
Google
we can incorporate
that
is.
Into our tap room. Don't Google that, please. Rubbing corn, burnt corn on your face. That's a great game. Apparently, Shane grew up where fun. He's in the, from the Footloose
he's
town.
Actually, the Neese household, by the way. Jeez if you Louise. Hadn't figured that one out yet.
Jeez Louise.
Fun hadn't made it to ten.
I really
to your town
hope
yet.
She answers.
I hope she answers too. Now I'm just gonna keep talking about things so she can respond.
Yeah, no, we gotta leave people on the hook. You gotta
taboo
come back
is
and
fun.
Next time.
Catchphrase is fun.
Cards Against Humanity.
What's the one that you like? Put the it's an app. You like, put it on your head.
Oh,
heads
that,
up.
Yeah.
Heads up. That one's fun. Anyway.
So about this peach saison.
It's good, man. Doesn't taste like peaches. I think that about does it. We're not going to sit here and wait for... Poor Katie's taking care of your children. She's not going to respond to your text right now. But anyway,
you see this
clearly, we have... Oh, he's showing us a picture on the internet.
The burnt cork card game, but there's a word for it. It's just not showing up. Right
Pinochle. Now. I've never played Pinochle. We talked a little bit about Beer Fest.
Mahjong.
We talked a whole lot about God knows what. I think it's time that we call this. Does anyone else have anything to say? Nope. All right. Nope.
It's
well,
Friday.
As Friday always, weekend. If you have, please, God, if you have ideas for stuff we should talk about, send us a text. Send us a text. That's not true. Don't text us.
Brian's phone number is...
Oh, God. Send us an email at info@fallcitybeer.com. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Fall City Beer. Visit our website, fallcitybeer.com. You can buy stuff there if you'd like to buy a shirt.
And I hope then, you enjoy this just
yeah,
as much as we did.
We're sorry.
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
I'm a little bit sorry. All right.
No regrets, dude.
Anyway, cheers to you all.
Signing
we
off.
Know you have a choice. Thank you for choosing Fall City. Have a good one.
Cheers.